Beth and I were traveling to the Big Island, coincidentally. We're celebrating our 30th anniversary. It was a great time we had there. We flew out of the Seattle airport, and as I often do when I travel, especially to the airport, I'm always a little bit nervous about logistics, so I make sure we're there in plenty of time. We're sitting in our gate area after being checked in and going through security, and we are there a little bit early. Beth would say probably too early. And after a while, there was a guy sitting across from us. He came up to us. And this guy was very friendly. Now, I'm an outgoing person myself, so I appreciate that, but he was so friendly, he just started visiting with us, standing as we were sitting there, and you couldn't help but engage with that friendliness as he chatted with Beth and I. The man's name, I would come to find out, was Frank. His wife is Laurie. And it turns out he was a facility maintenance guy for the Woodland Park Zoo there in Seattle. It's their major zoo. And he had some great stories just talking about the zoo. It was very fascinating. And we would find out that he and his wife liked to travel to Hawaii. They did it as often as they could. If they could do it at least once a year, they would. And they especially enjoyed the Big Island. They loved it there. And I'm thankful for the encounter. I'm thankful for Frank's friendliness, his helpful attitude, and they actually rescued us shortly after we came to the island. So I was very thankful for the boldness that he connected to us with. It was kind of funny, we were in need of something. We both coincidentally got on the same rental shuttle and got talking, and he goes, well, we had to get to some place and rent a car to get another rental car. And he goes, well, we're going there, we can take you. And so we got to spend an hour driving across the Big Island with him. It worked out very well. I think they're actually traveling there right now to the Big Island, believe it or not. Volcano or not, I guess you could say. I mention this encounter because Frank is an example of someone who took the initiative. He was very intentional as he reached out just to be friendly. We would find out later on, too, that there were Christians very active in their church, so we had that in common. Now, extending friendship like that comes quite naturally to some folks. That's just easy for them. For some people, not quite so naturally. We're going to be exploring today what God would have us do as we live our lives in relationships with all sorts of people around us. We're into our sermon on mission. You can see it there. Kind of a little bit of a continuation of our sermon we had last spring, late in early summer. And to summarize the last couple of weeks, to review what we talked about, Laurel came and visited a little bit about what it means to be covenant, the covenant church, because we have some definite history, we have some definite values that we hold dear. We have six affirmations. We're not a creedal church, although we believe in the creeds, but we have affirmations. And a couple of them are very, well, they're all important, but a couple of them are especially important to me, and that is the centrality of God's Word. We really, really appreciate God's Word. And also a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. To me, those are just basic fundamentals of our faith. We talked about the church's mission last year when I introduced the three words, worship, grow, and live. You might remember last week we had Ryan run here and play Captain America and stand proudly in his worship, grow, live t-shirt. Thank you for that, Ryan. I assume you're not wearing it today. No, no. We could still have you run. No, we won't have you do that. So worshiping God, knowing and fearing God, being aware of who He is and the grace that He has given us on this earth. To grow in Jesus Christ, in our knowledge of Him, to learn more about Him, to explore Him, and to understand Him and why He came, why He gave His life for us. And finally, to live by His Spirit, to be driven by the Holy Spirit in our lifestyle and how we live with the purposes God has given us, how we're equipped by the Spirit of God. We also reviewed at that time how Jesus launched His own ministry when He became of age, how He introduced that he was on the road in his ministry. He went to his hometown, and they invited him to read Scripture, and he read these words. This is from Luke 4, 18 through 19, as he quotes the book of Isaiah himself, chapter 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners," that would be us, "and recovery of sight for the blind," that also would be us, "to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He would go on to say that he was the fulfillment of that prophecy. His hometown didn't really appreciate that. 3 years later, about, Jesus was leaving his disciples for the very last time. And just before he ascended into heaven, as the picture behind me depicts, we have him give his final words to his disciples, to his followers. The final mission, what they should be doing now that he leaves. And we find it in what we know as the Great Commission in Matthew 28, the final chapters of that gospel. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I'm just going to read 19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Our focus today is on these words: go and make disciples. We left last week with a question: how do we do that? How do we go and make disciples? They're questions that we have to ask. If we love Jesus Christ, if we're followers of him, we simply can't ignore that task of going and making disciples. 2 Corinthians 5:20 reads, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." We're actually ambassadors, just like the president appoints ambassadors to foreign land. God, through Jesus Christ, appoints us as his ambassadors. So how do we do that? How do we do that effectively? How do we step out of our comfort zones and help others find a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ? How can we draw others to know the love of the Lord? Certainly not because we have to. If you ever think you have to do this, don't do it. We do it because we've experienced grace ourselves, and we want others to do that. In April, at the last meeting of the last annual meeting of the Northwest Conference of the Covenant that Beth and I attended, I had a chance to visit with Beth Severson, coincidentally. I don't believe it's any relation to the Seversons of Larchwood. She's the director of evangelism in the Evangelical Covenant Church of America. They've developed a very simple way to remember and understand of how to carry out this directive, how to go and make disciples, the Great Commission. How do we do that? To do it, though, in such a way that's normal, that's natural, that, if I can say, is appropriate. I personally like it because it's simple. It helps me remember what I need to remember. It's a five-step approach to help others find God in such a way it's designed to make it that we can all do it. Every person here can do it. And we can remember those principles whenever we think of others. Whenever we think of helping others, maybe take just a step closer to Jesus Christ. We learn that evangelism really is more about loving your neighbor and being a friend than closing a deal. So we're going to look at this system that's designed to help us share our faith in Jesus Christ. And it's simply the word bless. There it is. B-L-E-S-S. We can all remember that, to bless others. It also helps us, even though I'm going to give you a little formula off each letter, it also remembers that we just want to bless people around us. That's fairly basic. We can do that. When I share Christ, I need to remember that the Spirit is at work in people's hearts. It's not for us to prepare their hearts. It's not for us and dependent on our actions and our abilities to bring people to Christ. That is God and His Spirit's responsibility. It is through the work of the Word, it is through the work of Jesus Christ that that is done. But it's God's message first, for sure. So let's begin by putting Him at the center of what we do, because the first letter is, begin with prayer. That's pretty simple. Begin with prayer. That's basic. Sharing the love and grace of Jesus Christ to our world is a call to us to pray. First and foremost, to pray. What better place to start than with talking to God about the process? Paul urges us in Ephesians 6 to pray for everyone, to lift everyone in our world up. But we need also to consider our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers when we pray. If you're a farmer, I'll say your vendors and those you know through the elevator. To consider those relationships that are around us, those natural relationships wherever we are, school or work. And I'd ask that you think about 5 or 10 people that you can pray about. Pretty basic. Those who you know need to walk with God. Pray for them. Not once, but on a regular basis. Prayers make a difference to God. That's the message you see throughout Scripture. God wants to be alongside you every step of the way as you live your life. The second letter is L. L is for listen with care. What a great idea to be a listener. For some of us who love to talk, this will take some work. But for many of you, you do it naturally. You do it gracefully. You do it wonderfully. I know that from personal experience. Now, however, I'm asking you to do it with purpose, with intentionality, with God's purpose. Listen to what others say. You don't need to respond immediately. It's probably better if you don't. Sometimes we feel we need to fix things when we're chatting with people. We need to help them fix it, especially you guys out there. But instead, listen to hear a person's heart, to their concerns, what their world is about. I find myself filling space talking sometimes when I should be listening. I'm convicted often of that. Through that, you can find out what needs I have, what's important to them. At the very least, it'll help you pray more effectively. But it's a great way to get to know another person. It's a natural way to just listen well and then ask the Holy Spirit to make you aware of how to pray, to empower you to connect with that person for whatever reason. This next one, E, is for eat together. I like this one. This one's really good. So far I've asked you to pray, I've asked you to listen, I've asked you to eat. It's such a natural part for all of us. I just really enjoy being I heard someone say they were a foodie. I guess you could say I'm a foodie, which shows it's simply through the simple act of eating together, we can practice hospitality. We can build deeper relationships. And for years as a pastor, I was at a previous job, I was the pastor in charge of connections. And guess where I found most people? Now I was in an environment with a lot of Boeing engineers and factory workers and things. They all took lunch. And so I did. I actually, from the church, they gave me a great big lunch allowance because that's when I would connect with people. And I have found meeting with people and eating is just a great common way to spend time with them, an opportunity to get to know them better, help them communicate with you. Many of you I've met for lunch. I appreciate the lunches we have. As friendships grow, we can grow closer. We can share our lives with them as well and have honest conversations. Remember, and you got to always remember this, you are not in charge of closing the deal. That is not your job. Your job is to be available to Jesus Christ, to be used by Him, to pray, to listen well, to spend time with people, to eat with them. Now, that can be done over a cup of coffee. It can be at a pizza place. It could be at your home. It could be wherever. You can even let others join you and be part of the process. That's not bad. You can discover new restaurants together. How about this one? You can invite them to your house for dessert for ice cream and invite your pastor. Okay. On to the next. The first S is for serving in love. If you are a person who is naturally filled with mercy, this will come easy for you, loving and caring for others. Consider how you can reach out to people, to serve them, to help them. We've talked about how God wants all of us to care and love others, to let them know how much God loves them. What better way than to, instead of saying it to them, show them? Remember, this is God's work. Ask Him what ways you can serve. Consider the small acts of kindness that this church actually centers around in a lot of areas. I like that ministry group. And if you're not involved with the Random Acts of Kindness, please connect with me or Leanne, who chairs that team. We'd love to have you join us. Consider what resources you have, though, that can make a difference. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about money. But there's lots of ways you can help people. When I think of helping people, I think of Daryl. For some reason, he's on the short list of half the people in this county to help. He's one of those guys that has the gifts of help. We'll be talking about gifts next week, but he's a fine example of that, like numerous of you are. Remember what Paul said, I will do, I will become, I will just do whatever it takes to help people know Jesus Christ. The last S is for sharing your story. When in your life have you been especially close to God? You've especially felt His presence in your life. That is part of your story. You can use it to help others as you share your spiritual journey. Share if it fits, but don't force it, ever. Your personal experience is one of the most valuable assets you have in letting others know about Jesus Christ. Your transparency, your vulnerability, your honesty is gold, at least in this category. No one can argue with you what you experienced, what you felt, what you lived through. I don't know about you, but with just a little effort, I can remember what BLESS stands for. I can remember that I want to bless people, whatever I do. To shorten up, pray, listen, eat. Oh, you can all remember those three, huh? And then the two S's, to serve. To share your story. I just need to be alert, though. And I need to be able to be intentional, to let God use me, to be open to that. I can let God make the opportunities that I just follow through as I try to be obedient to Him, as I just don't give up, as I stay persistent. I've got to be honest with you, though, I still get nervous with all this. I also think I can get past that nervousness. Here's some steps as you share your story that might be helpful. The first point is ask for permission to share if it helps. Just ask for permission. Do you mind if I share my story with you, what I learned? It's your story, but you don't have to. Don't be churchy. Don't start quoting verses out of the King James. Nothing wrong with the King James version of the Bible. It's just like from 400 or 500 years ago. I once had actually a relative that whenever he talked about things about God, especially when he said grace, he'd revert to like a language from 400 years ago. Thou, thee, thy. I mean, it was just, where do you get that? Next advice, keep it short. Make it short. It doesn't need to take 3 days to say. Expand it when it's appropriate and natural. This next one, be humble and thankful. Focusing on God, not on your mistakes, not on your issues. Sometimes we get carried away with ourselves. If you can, note the differences where you've seen God grow you in your life, or the patterns to your life. Then focus on Jesus. Have that be the focus. Relate your experience to them if there's some way to do that. And lastly, and I like this one, be at peace. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, very famous verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation be by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I've asked the ushers to distribute a little handout. If you want to do that now, Brennan, I'd appreciate it. And this isn't one per family. This is one for every individual. It's a handout that the people that put Blessed together created for us. And it'll help us with that first step in praying. Sometimes we can't do all the other steps. We definitely can't do it all at once. And we tend to make things bigger and harder than they should be. But as Nike says, just do it. And I'm just talking about prayer. I'm just talking about praying with your Lord. This week, I want you to take this home. You'll see on the backside a couple tear-offs. I want you to write the list twice. Once that you're going to turn into the church, your name won't be attached to it. I just want to have us as a church pray over it, the names. And the other one's for you. So you're going to give one tear-off to me eventually, and you're going to keep one. And with that, if you can put it on your dashboard, tape it to the mirror in your bathroom, put it in your Bible, whatever you want to do to keep it close by your bedside at night, you can have a list of names that you've considered, names that people you care about. Maybe it's neighbors, maybe it's co-workers, maybe it's people you know in the thrashing bee. So, in the next couple of weeks, I'll be collecting those. Starting next week and the week after, I'll collect a list of names from you. I hope you participate in that. Just as a way, at the very least, you can at least do step one. And I'll let the Lord grow you beyond that. Okay, last week I mentioned I struggled with Matthew 28, 19. I struggled especially with the word go. You know, I find it really easy to help people that come to me. I find it really easy to help people that want to grow in Christ. I mean, I love doing that. I've been trained to do that. I enjoy doing that. But there's that word go, which tells me I need to take action. I need to step out. I need to initiate the bless plan. And it can be intimidating. But I think I can do it. Gradually, in prayer, listening, eating for sure, serving, and sharing. And I would challenge us as a church to do something we haven't done too much of in the past. Take these handouts and really put some thought into it. Ask the Lord, who should I write down? By the way, you're not limited to 10. If you want to crowd the little slip of paper there, that'd be fine. But let's take the initiative. Let's work on this one step at a time. We have nothing to lose. And some people have eternity to gain. This is God's plan. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this insight in how we can bless others. Thank you for this program to remind us how it starts with you. How it starts with listening and caring. How it starts with connecting with people, being through eating or just spending time with them. Help us to have hearts to serve, to have hearts to share. Lord, we need your strength. We need your spirit strongly in our hearts and souls. Be with us this day as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.